Crime Alert, hourly update, breaking crime news now.
I'm Jennifer Gould. The chilling truth of the 2022 Idaho student murders grotesquely unfolds in newly unsealed court records detailing Brian Koberger's scratched face and the monstrous brutality he inflicted on the victims. A teaching assistant noted fingernail-like scratches on Koberger's face after the slaughter, suggesting a desperate struggle. The Kings Road crime scene was a blood-soaked nightmare, according to documents. Walls smeared with blood cast off, floors pooled with gore, and bodies found so disfigured, some were unrecognizable. Kaylee Gonsalves' father, Steve Gonsalves, spoke to the media after the sentencing.
It was horrific what Kaylee went through. Yeah, she was stabbed over 30 plus times,
and she was struck, and others associated with this notable case.
There was quite a bit of damage to her face.
Communicate freely
with
the media.
So this guy's just an absolute
monster.
It is
a little bit like a water.
Koberger, now 30,
will find low ground. In this case, the media is going to write about something, regardless. About this case.
Prosecutors believe
lifting the non-dissemination order does not require
he found
the
Logan and Kaylee Gonsalves, 21,
counsel or
in bed,
others who were previously bound by it to speak.
Her face, quote, unquote,
and the state has indicated they don't intend to until after the sentencing.
Beaten,
at this point, I just don't think that I can justify the continuation of the non-dissemination order. I think the rights of the public to information
in this case is artery injury.
Paramount.
Madison
Hitler determined
wounds,
that the gag order was unnecessary
to
now that
and
Koberger has
to
entered
liver
the guilty
lacerations,
plea, meaning
their
the case will not proceed
was
to trial.
In blood.
The broad
a
order had been in
with
effect
Koberger's
since 2023
DNA
and faced challenges
body,
from multiple
descending
news outlets,
to the second
which
floor,
argued
Koberger
it upon
encountered
the First Amendment
Zana
rights of a
20
free
just
press.
After her
earlier
DoorDash
in July,
delivery,
the 30-year-old Koberger pleaded guilty to the murders and accepted a plea deal that entails serving
four
consecutive life sentences.
She
this
ran
agreement,
for her
which
life,
has sparked differing opinions among the victims' families,
bedroom,
enabled Koberger to
down
evade the death penalty
in
a highly publicized trial.
To her lung and
prosecutors
heart,
revealed that Koberger,
bedroom,
a criminal justice student at the
Ethan
time of the murders, had
bed,
meticulously
covered,
premeditated the attack that resulted
sleep,
in the deaths
jugular
of Madison
and
Mogan,
Kaylee
Gonsalves,
Zana Knudel,
and Ethan Chapman.
Surviving roommate Dylan Mortensen signed mass figure with
University
bushy eyebrows
of Idaho
flee
campus
with a package
on November 13,
after hearing a
2022.
Scream and a male voice
investigators
say, quote,
pointed to DNA
fine,
evidence, cell phone
you,
data,
quote.
And surveillance
the
footage that linked Koberger to the stabbings,
phone pinged
which
near
sent
the house at least 23
the
times, mostly at night.
Left
a Walmart employee recalled him asking
town
for
in
a
Northern
black
Idaho,
ski mask.
Terrified.
Koberger reportedly had knuckle wounds and claiming facial injuries from a car accident. The case took an 11th-hour turn. On July 2nd, Koberger accepted a plea deal, avoiding death by firing squad after defense setbacks like denied DNA and cell phone records suppression, pleading guilty for life without parole and waiving all appeals. While some families accepted the plea, others, like Kaylee's father Steve, called it a, quote, deal with the devil, end quote. At his July 23rd sentencing, Koberger, stone-faced, declined to speak, uttering three menacing words, quote, I respectfully decline, end quote, further enraging families. Judge Stephen Hippler called him a quote-unquote coward, adding, quote, we won't ask why anymore. It gives him power, end quote. The murder weapon remains missing. No sexual motive found. With the gag order lifted, more documents may emerge, hopefully revealing the horrifying truth, why that house was chosen and the four lives inside so brutally slaughtered and extinguished. In the meantime, as Koberger begins his life sentence, he is, quote, just a number behind bars, end quote, as Steve Gonsalves declared, ensuring the victims, Kaylee, Maddie, Zana, and Ethan are the only ones remembered. More crime and justice news after this.
I'm Sydney Sumner.
The DOJ may be releasing the list of Jeffrey Epstein's clients? Will that really happen?
It's sitting on my desk right now to review. That's been a directive by President Trump. I'm reviewing.
After months of promises to release more of the files associated with the investigation of Jeffrey Epstein, the Department of Justice and the FBI release a joint statement claiming there isn't anything else to publish, and a rumored client list does not exist. The FBI says searches of their records revealed more than 300 gigabytes of data, but most of that accounts for photos of Epstein, images and videos of minor victims, and over 10,000 videos and images of child sex abuse material and other pornography. The DOJ insists that any further releases would only harm Jeffrey Epstein's victims, who number more than 1,000. This as reports surfaced that President Trump was informed there were no more files to release back in May, along with being briefed that his name, among several other high-profile individuals, were mentioned in the documents. Attorney General Pam Bondi says the mentions do not constitute any evidence of wrongdoing. However, Epstein's answers regarding his relationship with Trump in a 2010 deposition are leading many to believe otherwise.
Have you ever had a personal relationship with Donald Trump?
What do you mean by personal relationships?
Have you socialized with him?
Yes, sir.
Yes?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever socialized with Donald Trump in the presence of females under the age of 18?
Though I'd like to answer that question, at least today, I'm going to have to assert my 5th, 6th, and 14th Amendment rights, sir.
I'm Drew Nelson. A 3-year-old boy dies in Birmingham, Alabama, after being left in a hot car for 5 hours by a child welfare transport worker. Katerius K.J. Sparks was found dead Tuesday inside a parked car on Pine Tree Drive. He'd been left behind by a worker from Covenant Services, a company under contract with Alabama's Department of Human Resources. The car was turned off. The windows were up. Police said KJ was picked up around 9 a.m. for a supervised visit with his biological father, Katorius Sparks Sr. That happened at the DHR office in Bessemer. The visit ended around 11:30 that morning. The worker was supposed to return KJ to daycare. Instead, she stopped for food, went to a tobacconist shop, then returned home and left KJ in the car. He was left there from about 12:30 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. By the time the foster family came to pick him up, he was missing. 6:40 p.m., emergency responders were called to the worker's home. KJ was found still fastened in the car seat. He was pronounced dead there. Attorney Courtney French, who now represents the family, said, quote, a heartbreaking and preventable tragedy. Based upon a preliminary investigation with the current extreme outside temperatures and the heat index of 108 degrees, the interior temperature of the car where KJ was trapped likely exceeded 150 degrees. Both KJ's biological and foster families are in mourning. Katorius Sparks Sr. spoke to WBRC about the last time he would hold his son.
Words can't even express how I feel right now. Soon as the time I leave my son, first thing he say, Dad, I want to go with you when we leave. And like, and it really hurt me. Like, he said this every time I see him on a visit. Dad, I want to go with you. I said, don't worry, son. You'll be with me soon.
The family has hired an attorney to investigate further. The DHR released a short statement saying, quote, a child in DHR custody was being transported by a contract provider when the incident occurred. The provider has terminated their employee. Due to confidentiality, DHR cannot comment further regarding the identity of the child or the exact circumstances. Police say the worker has been cooperative and was questioned by Birmingham police. The investigation continues. Ernest Miller is a cousin in KJ's foster family.
To the theme parks. He had a blast. He was in the swimming pool. We just had a great time as a family. We just got back Friday. We were all looking forward to him growing up and being a part of his family, and he's just gone.
KJ's parents said in a statement through their attorney, quote, this is a parent's worst nightmare. Our baby should be alive.
I'm Nicole Parton. A deputy sheriff from Miami-Dade County, Florida, was taken into federal custody on Wednesday after being charged with 2 counts of child exploitation. Carly Miranda Bloom, 51, who served with the Miami-Dade Sheriff's Office for more than 20 years, faces serious allegations of receiving and producing visual-related sexual images of a minor, this according to a press release from the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Southern District of Florida. Bloom is accused of exchanging explicit videos with the 17-year-old girl with whom she was having a physical relationship. The allegations state that Bloom recorded herself engaging in sexual acts with the underage girl and traveled across state lines to meet her. When their relationship began to fall apart, Bloom allegedly made threats against the girl's life. A criminal complaint obtained by an independent news station, WPLG, indicated that authorities received a tip on July 14 regarding Bloom's involvement with the minor. The situation escalated when the girl was detained under the Baker Act while attempting to board a flight to Miami the day after her 18th birthday. Bloom went to the airport to collect the girl's luggage. Witnesses reported that the girl's mental health had significantly worsened during the year she was allegedly involved with the officer. After accessing the teenager's cell phone, investigators reportedly found multiple graphic videos of Bloom with the girl, including instances where Bloom was accused of violently choking the girl. Further examination of their communication led authorities to conclude that the messages exchanged were of a romantic or sexual nature, and that the two were involved in a relationship. Bloom allegedly expressed a countdown to the girl's 18th birthday and referred to her as her wife, promising to marry her once she was of age. The complaint included explicit messages dating back to February featuring graphic photos and videos sent by the girl to Bloom. Some of Bloom's text messages were reportedly violent, with one saying, "I really need to rape you." When the girl attempted to end the relationship, Bloom's responses allegedly included threats of, "Leave me and see what happens. I will drive my favorite knife through your throat and watch you slowly die. I swear on my grandparents." WPLG reported that investigators learned Bloom intended to fly to Atlanta, Georgia to see the girl once she was discharged from being Baker acted. Bloom was arrested in Atlanta on Wednesday. In a statement to local CBS affiliate WFOR, Miami-Dade Sheriff Rosie Stutz expressed her shock, saying, "This is very disturbing and a betrayal of the badge, the public trust, and the oath to which she was sworn to uphold." She emphasized that the alleged actions contradict the principles upheld by law enforcement officers and by humanity as a whole. The officer has been discharged from her position and is currently being held without bond. For the latest crime and justice news, follow Crime Alert Hourly Update on your favorite podcasting app. With this Crime Alert, I'm Nicole Parton.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.